Blog Talk Radio.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright, sunshiny day. Gonna be a bright, sunshiny day. Ooh. I think I can make it now. The pain is gone. All of the bad feelings have disappeared. Here is that rainbow I've been praying for. Gonna be bright.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriages between straight women and gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments you would like to make during this broadcast, hello, we're back now without the technical problem, I hope. Are my guests with me?
Yes.
I'm here. This is Deborah.
Okay. Sorry for the disappearance. Hopefully somebody said something while I was gone to let people know that I'd just been cut off. But that's all right. With Blog Talk Radio, you're always on a wing and a prayer. But anyway, ladies or men, if you have any questions you would like to ask us during this broadcast, please feel free to email me at bondk@aol.com. That's bondk@aol.com. Before I introduce my two wonderful guests for tonight, I just want to mention that it's already, January, in a couple of months from now, we're going to be having our healing weekend here in Philadelphia for women who have not attended one. It's a wonderful experience to meet other women who have walked in your shoes. And when you come out of these healing weekends, you just feel so much better, because just knowing people who can understand everything you're feeling, you don't even have to say anything, but there's no one who can understand a straight wife like a straight wife. No one understands our pain. Nobody understands our walk. And other people can be sympathetic, or they can say they feel bad for us, but unless you're living this life, It just doesn't make sense, except if you're with other people who understand. So during that weekend, we meet lots of other women traveling the same road. We also have some wonderful speakers, some activities that go on. And it's going to be here in Philadelphia, April 29th and 30th. And treat yourself to something that therapy can never buy you, and that's the kind of support you're going to find here. If you're interested, write to me at bonk@aol.com. That's bonk@aol.com. Well, the other night, we started off having a wonderful show with two of my dear friends, Deborah and Chris. And Deborah is a writer and one of the leaders of our Straight Wives Club, and Chris is one of our alumni members who really helps women who are going through this and, you know, gives them extra support as they need it with great insight. So I'd like to welcome you both back to the show. We were rudely off the other night. Welcome back, Deborah and Chris.
Glad to be here.
Yes.
Yep, we're glad to have you here because women really gain so much insight from what you have to offer. You know, Deborah, how long have we been together now?
Over 3 years.
Mm-hmm, when you first came to me. And you had already been out of your marriage for a couple of years, right?
Yes.
And maybe you can tell people a little bit about that.
About why my
about,
marriage
you know, what your marriage
how
was about.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, my husband wanted out of the marriage, and he wasn't making sense. To me, we've been married 22 years, and we filed for a divorce, and I moved away, moved back to my home state. And about a month after I got back to my home state, I heard he made sexual advances to a man that we both knew. And that's when I really started, you know, believing that he was gay, and I started putting things together. But I started putting it together, but I still put it in the back of my mind, and I had a lot of other things going on in my life at the time. And it wasn't until, you know, 2 years after that, that I contacted you. 2 years after my divorce, that I contacted you.
Let me ask you this. You were married for a long time, and we have many of the women who become part of our support network who are also in long-term marriages. I know that Chris was as well. We'll talk to her in a couple minutes. And a lot of times women seem to blame themselves many times for not being able to see this sooner or recognize it, but it's not always that clear or easy to recognize. Would you agree with that?
I agree. I still went through, after I could see, I mean, afterwards, after, you know, initially I heard he made sexual advances to a man, I started remembering all kind of things that, like gay porn I found on the computer. And This was one time in 22 years he had never brought porn in the house. Well, he said I must have gave us a computer virus, but this was a link that was stored in the computer's history. And, yes, I let that go. And, I put it out of my mind for on down the road, you know.
Because this is a very hard concept to even deal with. You know, none of us think that we're marrying a man who's a homosexual because we're not brought up to believe that. You know, we're brought up to believe that gay people want to be with people of the same sex. Why would they be marrying a woman? That doesn't even register with us. Would you say that was true?
I say that's true. But even at that, I still felt stupid for not knowing. And how could somebody fool me?
Well, because they are experts at this. You know, first of all, these men who fool us, they've been practicing their whole life because they don't want to let people know that they are gay. So they learn how to act straight, and that's what it is, a straight act. Because you see people on television who learn how to act gay, So people can learn how to act, but that doesn't mean that's who they are or what they are. And so that's what's so confusing to us, that we see the person we love, the person who promised to love us forever and make a life with us and a future with us, and now all of a sudden we have to start thinking he's with a man. I mean, it doesn't even register. When there are red flags, right?
Yes, there are red flags. But we didn't, I mean, I didn't understand what I was looking at the time. I mean, it's easy for me to see in hindsight and feel stupid for not knowing, but at the time, I didn't know.
Chris, how about you? Did you have any red flags in your marriage?
Our entire marriage was surrounded by red flags. I just did not know what they meant for many years. And, there were sexual problems from the very beginning and throughout our marriage, and he always had reasons for his behavior that, if you squint hard enough, you could see it his way. In hindsight, obviously, man is gay, but for many years.
Right. But, I mean, you got married when you were pretty young, right?
Chris? I was 20 when we got married.
Right. And
so,
I'm sure you heard the word gay when you got married, right?
Right. I was uncomfortable with the lack of sex in our dating life, but he was very religious, so I figured that was it. And growing up in a family that was religious, I figured once we were married, all bets were off and we could do whatever we wanted. But apparently, whatever he wanted was not me.
Right, but we wouldn't necessarily think that it's because it was a gay thing. And
that's
what's so confusing, because either religious or other issues, maybe he's under stress. I mean, I've had women tell me, well, my husband said he couldn't perform because of medical issues, because of the stress at work, because of the pressure I'm putting him through. And, it's just amazing to me how many different stories of the same kind of nature they come up with. And it's very discouraging to think that women, have to go through this. One of the things that I would like you both to comment on, it's a little bit different than what we were talking about the other night. We'll get back to that. But I was having a conversation with a man the other day, and it suddenly came to me, and I think I mentioned it to Deborah, that, he was saying that it's a shame that there's two victims in this. The men are the victims of society, and the women are the victims also because of society, whatever. But my point is this. I think that, I understand where they say that men are coming from, that they're victims of a homophobic type of society, and I really do appreciate that. Trust me, it must be horrible to have to live with, a noose around your neck half the time, thinking people are going to beat you up, string you up. Gay people have gone through torture in this country, and no doubt, I certainly acknowledge that. But on the other hand, women who get married to gay men because they can't deal with themselves, they're victims, they're being victimized by the victims. But I feel like at least the men had a choice with this, and that, at least they knew what they were dealing with. But when it comes to marrying us, we have no idea what we're dealing with. So I don't think it's like the same equation. I don't feel that, I understand it's rough for them, but at least they have a choice to make, where we had none. Deborah, do you agree with that?
I agree with that. He knew what he was all along.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't given a choice. I wouldn't have chose to marry him if I had known. I would not have gone ahead with that marriage.
What about you, Chris?
I would agree with you, and I would also go farther. I mean, my ex-husband did not come from a very conservative background. He came from an environment where homosexuality was not problematic. But I don't think he had any shame in that. But he was continually shamed growing up for being male. His mother wanted him to be a girl, and if he couldn't be a girl, he needed to make female grandchildren for her. So he needed a wife for that.
And then you had all the boys.
Yeah, then we ended up having four sons. But, he needed a uterus, and there I was. So, yeah, I don't think he was a victim at all. I mean, yes, a victim of a mother who treated him like a mistake, but not for his homosexuality. I don't know that she even knows about that.
Hmm. How about your husband's parents? Do you think they knew about it, Deb?
I think the mother started to question it because during the marriage, I think she may have heard rumors. During my marriage to him, she asked me if he was gay.
Yeah, I think mothers know their children are gay. I mean, I certainly believe that because I think a mother knows a child.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, you know, you live with the child growing up and you see how they act and react. I think it would be very ridiculous to think that parents don't know. But I also think they believe that we can save their children from being gay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that they get so excited when they hear that, you know, their son is getting married, that all those fears they had or all those, you know, thinking, well, he must be getting over it now. You know, he's outgrowing it. He met a woman. Now he understands what it's like to be with a woman. You know, he's not going to have those horrible thoughts anymore. And they're looking for us to save their sons. Do you find that to be so? Either one of you?
I'm not sure if she thought I would save her son or not. I don't know. But I know that she could see that his behavior was not right. And, you know, he had a lot of anger and rage, and he could even take that out on her. So I think she could see that even during the marriage that it didn't solve his problems.
Uh-huh. How about your in-laws, Chris?
You know, I don't think my mother-in-law had high expectations of me at all. She never really liked me all that much. And I don't think that she thought I was going to be able to change anything about her son. But I will say I don't know that she ever saw any good qualities in him. And don't get me wrong, he was a horrible husband. But sometimes I saw him being an excellent son, and she never saw that. So, you know, take that for what it's worth.
So now
my husband didn't have he didn't have a good relationship with his mother either.
So now, as life has gone on, you know, Chris has gotten, you know, been away from her marriage for a number of years. And how long ago did you leave, Chris?
2012, I left.
Okay. And Deborah, you left about 2011?
It was January 2012, I think.
Okay, you left the same year.
Yeah, this will be this is like 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
5 years.
Happy anniversary.
Same to you, Chris. I would like to address this, Deb, and then you, Chris, about recovering from these marriages and why it takes so much longer than other kinds of marriages. Maybe you could talk about that a little bit, Deb.
I think it takes so much longer because, well, it took me a long time to see him as gay because I had an image of him. You know, so it took me a couple of years to realize, you know, he's gay. And I think because of the deception, because of the rejection, and the poor treatment, I think that's why it takes us so long to get over it.
Uh-huh.
Yes, by the time you're out, you have been beat down for so long that it's hard to know who you are or what matters to you or how to react in social situations or any of those things, because we've been pussyfooting around his problems for so long. You haven't really been free to explore your own life.
Chris is so right about that.
Mm-hmm. I think you were mentioning the other conversation we had, Deborah, that you were so busy always trying to make him happy and doing what he wanted to do that you really lose who you are. Is that right?
Yes, you do. I mean, the whole marriage was about him, his problems, mm-hmm. getting him through his problems, and making him happy. There was nothing left for me, so. And I lived, that's how I lived my life as a wife to him. It revolved around him. And I think his mother's life revolved around him, too.
What about yours, Chris?
Absolutely. I was, I had joked when we were dating that I was Mike Basham and staff. I was just the background people who made sure that everything went smoothly in his life. And he counted on that. He got very resentful mm-hmm. if something didn't come his way, because obviously, since I was so good at making things go smoothly for him, when they didn't go smoothly, that must mean it was my fault. So, yeah, it was all about, I wouldn't even go so far as to say making him happy. It was more trying to keep him from being furious with me
mm-hmm.
for more than 2 decades.
I know. And when you look back at it and you see what you put up with, I mean, when I see what both of you had to put up with for a long period of time, I mean, I would just like to read a little bit of something Deborah had written recently and in one of her blogs. And she said, "I'm writing about this because I was a self-sacrificing wife. I always put my own needs aside. Some of this was done for the sake of peace. When my ex-husband wanted something, he would wear me down until he got it. He would threaten divorce. Truly, this manipulation tactic did not work on me. I would say, get a divorce. It was the daily wearing and tearing me down. The arguments went on for weeks, and when he did not get his way, I'm talking about money, here in my own money, he wanted me to buy him a John Boat, and then a few years later, a Camaro. I honestly did not want to buy him these things, but I gave in. Did my sacrifice make him love me, appreciate me, or even consider me? Absolutely not. Did I expect a little consideration? I did. It's true when they say money can't buy love, but it did give me a little more time in the marriage, as he told me near the end that he did say to go through my money." I mean, that's pretty harsh there, Deb.
Yes.
I mean, I felt so horrible when I just read that recently.
Yes, if I could have left it at that time, you know, before my money was spent, I had it in the bank, and I could have had a lot easier, you know, getting set up when I moved. But, you know, he waited till he went through my money.
And I like when
they're
you say
good
that.
People, but they're not stupid.
Oh, yeah. I like when you said, honestly, his habitual need for help was a vicious cycle. Right?
Yes, it was.
It's not like it ever ends. They're constantly needing things from you and not willing to give anything back.
That's right. It was never ending, and they're not willing to give anything back. I don't think they can see outside of their own self. They're not capable. I mean, they can't see.
I don't think it's that they can't see. I think it's because they're gay men who don't belong in a straight marriage. I mean, they don't think straight, because they aren't straight. And that's not to say gay is a bad thing. It's just a different thing. And it's hard to, you know, like I could go to France tomorrow, but I wouldn't know how to act French because I'm an American. That's not to say there's anything wrong with French people, but I'm just not one of them. So my thinking's not going to be the same. I mean, some things we'll have in common, but overall we're from different cultures, different histories, different upbringings. You know, you can try to be anything you want to be, but if it's not who you are, then you're not that way. And with these men, you know, they're not meant to be in a straight marriage with a woman. And if they're there, they're there to take something for themselves, not to give something to us. This is not what they're looking to do when they marry us. They're looking to satisfy them, not us. Would you both agree with that, Chris?
I agree.
Absolutely.
So, Chris, a lot of women who have come through our network have a hard time, you know, even getting back into life. And you're one of the few women that, you know, have come, been part of this, you know, network who have really made, you know, when things fell apart, you really determined that you wanted to share your life with someone. Some women, when they're done with this, they're not looking to do it. Deborah's one person who's just happy to be by herself for now. But you made a conscientious decision that you didn't, you spent enough years alone, even though you were married, and you were hoping to find someone who could be your soulmate. And that was something that you pursued. Am I correct in stating it that way?
You know, that's pretty close to correct. I'll be honest, at first, I wasn't too worried about finding a soulmate. I just wanted to have somebody to knock the rust off the bike. Because I had been, you know, alone and in a mostly sexless marriage for a very long time. So, yeah, I thought at first, I knew my divorce was going to be horrendous, but I didn't want to wait until I was old to date. So I thought all I need right now is a friend with benefits. So I found a couple of those, and then when I got that out of my system, yeah, then I thought I can wait to find somebody that I really want to be with, and I got that. But yeah, I wasn't going to give my ex-husband another minute of my sex life.
Yeah, it really seems to me that you met someone who you're having a wonderful life with for a while now, and he looks like a wonderful, adorable, fun-loving guy.
And
it just makes me so happy to see that, because that's who you are as a woman, and now you found someone who can match you in that way, right?
Yeah, it's very strange. I mean, it's terrific, but it's an adjustment. We've been together for more than 4 years, and it's still every day something will happen that I'll think, huh, so this is what it should have been like all along. I didn't realize what a relationship with a straight man was really like until I met one.
I think a lot of women have a hard time understanding what to expect and, you know, what a normal is supposed to be like. And, in fact, I had dinner last night with a wonderful woman, just started dating somebody, and she went to a very abusive type of marriage. And she really likes the guy. She said, he's really nice. I said, well, that's not enough. You know, you keep telling me how nice he is, but you're not telling me how you feel about him. And she said, well, he says wonderful things to me. I should really like him. Well, you should, but it doesn't mean that you're going to fall in love with him. And I think sometimes it's been so long since we've had any kind of positive reinforcement for a man that a lot of times when somebody's really complimentary to us or who's nice to us, who wants to sleep with us, you know, we feel like so wonderful that we're validated that we just jump into something. Did you find yourself doing that, Chris, or did you hold back?
I struggle to hold back. It can be difficult to separate your brain from all the, I guess, sensory overload of male attention. And so, yes, you can, coming out of these relationships, you are, I think, vulnerable to further predation by manipulative men, because, you know, just because a guy is straight doesn't mean he's a good man. And you have to have your eyes open, but you also have to be willing, I think, to be vulnerable. And I was in a position where I thought, you know, nothing some other guy could do to me could hurt me worse. So that kind of made me bulletproof in some ways.
Deborah, I'm just wondering, you know, I know you're not in a position right now that you want to find someone. But now that, you know, it's been 5 years since you left, you know, you're divorced, and you're very happy on your own, you have a very full life with your family, your friends, so meeting somebody is really not in the cards for you right now. But do you think
I don't feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't get out to meet anybody.
Mm-hmm. Are you open to meeting someone or no?
Yes, I would be open to meeting someone.
Okay, good.
But I'm not gonna go out of my way to meet anybody. That sounds terrible.
No, it doesn't, because you know what? I tell women, never feel there's something wrong with you if you're not dating or seeing a guy. A lot of women are just really happy being on their own. They don't need a man to make them feel complete or whole, or they just love the experience of being on their own. So there's nothing to feel bad about or to feel funny about. A lot of women feel this way. I had a member of our group, 10 years ago, who I'm still friends with today, and she told me after her divorce, she said, "This is it for me." I said, come on, you're still young. I guess we were younger then. I said, "You still have a lot of years left." She said, "That's okay. I have a very full life. I have my children, my grandchildren, my friends, my job." She said, "I just feel very complete without a man." And I think that women don't have to feel funny about that. Would you say so, Deb?
I say so. And, yes, I feel pretty complete. And, I don't have to please anybody now. Spent so many years pleasing someone. I don't have to please anybody but me, my kids.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been nice. And just being able to settle and relax and not walk on eggshells anymore, it's been so nice.
Mhm. And I think another issue is, Chris is younger than us. So, this was her first marriage, right, Chris?
Yes.
So you didn't have any real other experiences other than that, where Deborah and I both had been married before. So it wasn't a first experience, and Deborah had, some long-term marriage stuff going on there. So as you get older, I think you find more contentment within yourself and less of the need to have to be with somebody. Where I feel when you're younger, you really do want to be with somebody. So I think that age is also a factor. Would you say so, Deb?
I think so, too. I'm 60 years old, so I think age does have something to do with it. When I was younger, I felt like I wanted someone in my life.
Mm-hmm. And that's why with Chris, I think it's wonderful that you took that chance. Chris, I wanted you to talk to women about some of the fears and apprehensions when you started off with your relationship, what they were that you carried over from your marriage, and maybe that will give them some insight into some of the fears they're having that you were able to overcome.
Sure. One thing I'll say, I was on guard that he might be angry with me a lot. I was expecting to do something, just a small natural thing, and have him lash out at me. And he doesn't do that, but I had gotten so used to it I'm sure Deborah did too, of just constantly walking on eggshells, that it has taken me a while to realize that I can absolutely relax. And whatever I do is okay with David, because he's happy I'm in his life. And he likes me for being me. He's not using me as a prop. I also felt, you get so many excuses over more than 20 years of marriage for why your husband doesn't want to have sex with you. And most of those reasons come down to there's something wrong with you, you're repulsive. So I had a lot of that in my head that I had to scrape out. If David finds me attractive and he'll say so, it's not because that's what you're supposed to say to someone, or that'll shut me up for a few days. He's interested in me, and it took me a while to accept that. That a man could genuinely be interested in me, attracted to me, love me, and committed to me, all at the same time, not because he's trying to get something out of it other than me. So yeah, it's just been a lot of learning how to deal with a person who is just as straightforward as I am.
Well, we do have a question that came in for both of you, and it says, "Hi, ladies. I was just listening to Chris and Deborah talking about all the things that make these divorces and breakups so much more difficult. And Chris talked about the socializing aspects, like how to talk about it and how to deal with how people react and not knowing what other people will think or say. I agree with all that, but how do you handle it then? I agree it's difficult, but I'd like some pointers about how to deal with explaining it to other people so that it stops being so hard and uncomfortable. How do you explain it to other people, whether they believe you or not? Do you try to explain patiently, or do you get snarky, or do you try to educate them, or how do you handle the social aspects?" So that's a good question, Chris.
I did all of those things. One thing I would recommend very highly, if this woman is dating, especially if she's casually dating people that she doesn't know all that well, that is a fantastic place to talk about this. Because, you know, men, they'll buy you a drink and buy you a cheeseburger and listen to whatever craziness you have to say because they're hoping to get to know you better. And you can tell them, "This is why I'm divorced. Would you believe this crazy story?" And the stakes are low. You don't really care what they think. You just met this guy and just talk to him. Talk to people that you don't know. Talk to people on the bus. Be embarrassing. I don't care. The practice is good. And then once you get over your own shock about what happened to you and how you reacted to it and where you are now and how your life has changed and your marriage exploded and all those other things that you didn't predict, then you can kind of calm down and talk to your friends and talk to the people that you really care about, their opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And you have some perspective on your own life that you can explain it. And, you know, when it comes down to it, if they don't believe you, if they're not supportive, they're not people that you need in your life.
And what do you think on that, Deborah?
I had all those reactions, too. I had a sister and one daughter that didn't believe me, and I was upset with them. They came to believe me, but one of my daughters said, "Oh, I think maybe you believe it because maybe you couldn't take the rejection, and so you had to." And I'm like, I couldn't take the rejection. Nobody's been more rejected than me. You know, I've taken it.
Mm-hmm. I think it's all a matter that, you know, comes with experience. Each person has to be told differently. I will tell you this, that I think that both of you will agree that sometimes it really creates family drifts and splits because people don't want to believe you, or people feel that you were at fault, or that if you would have done better. People don't understand gay husbands. They think that they weren't gay when they married you. So there must have been some kind of failure within you that turned them gay, because why would they have married you if they were gay? And I think this is a general misconception of society. Would you agree with that, Deborah?
Yes. You can't.
I think
you,
people,
Chris,
don't know what to do with our stories.
To be gay. They were that way to begin with.
And one of the things that really upsets me is that, you know, women are given so little credit. You know, that's why I really wanted to start this movement of Straight Wives Matter. Because when men come out, even some of the famous stars, like, you know, with the Caitlyn Jenner transgender story, or the Joel Grey story on Broadway in his 70s, or coming out, that everybody sits and applauds them for their courage. But what kind of courage does it take to drag somebody into a marriage who you really don't intend to be a husband to, because your mind is in all these other places? I mean, I can accept that they've made a mistake and they're trying to face up to it, but I don't look at them as being heroes. I think that we're really the heroes, because we're the ones who sacrificed all these years of our lives. What would you think about that, Deborah?
Oh, I think you're right, but at the same time, they feel like they sacrificed years of their life, even though you weren't, you know, aware of their sexuality, and you were, you know, you entered this marriage in good faith, because they didn't feel like they could live an authentic life. I mean, they still feel like they sacrificed their life in a marriage to you, and if there's children, they feel like they sacrificed their life for their children.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very sad situation, once again, on who the heroes come out being in this situation. I think that I always tell gay people, the real heroes to me are those men who didn't get married because they could have taken an easy way out just like everybody else because society was pressuring them, but they didn't do it. They stood firm. They didn't drag somebody down with them. And it doesn't mean that you have to come out of the closet and that you have to go into a gay parade and say, I'm proud to be gay. You can live a very quiet and peaceful life, and no one has to know your business. You can keep it quiet. You just don't have to drag somebody else into it. And those men who did exactly that, to me, those are the real heroes. They didn't give in to society. They didn't get pressured by their families into doing something that wouldn't be right for them or for some innocent person. Chris, would you agree with that?
Absolutely. There's some 15-year-old out there coming out right now. That person would count as a brave person to me, who's willing to deal with the consequences of maybe upsetting their family or being uncomfortable in their community. There's no reason at this point for anybody to be in the closet among the people that they're dating. Like you said, they don't have to tell the world their business if they want to keep a quiet life about their sexuality. That's their business. But anybody that you're dating or having sex with or plan on marrying ought to know.
You know, I think they really took a coward's way out, you know, marrying, you know, getting married.
And some of them will see that. You know, there's some wonderful gay ex-husbands there who are really trying to do the right thing, you know, by their wives because they knew they made a mistake and they tried to make it right and it just didn't work and they just couldn't keep living their lie. And so they've done the right thing. And I know that a lot of times women think it's the worst thing in the world when your husband gives you that news. But I really disagree with that. I think it's the worst thing in the world when your husband doesn't give you that news and makes you keep thinking that there's something wrong with you, that you're the problem in the marriage. Chris, would you go along with that?
Absolutely. As far as my husband's concerned, he's still straight. Now, In hindsight, I know, obviously, he is not, but my assumption is he'll go to his grave telling everybody that he's not gay and I came up with this because I'm crazy. And, yeah, it would have been a lot simpler for me if he had said, I'm gay and I don't want to be married to you. Instead, he insisted that although he wanted nothing to do with me, he loved me and found me very desirable. It was just really confusing, and it wasted a lot of years of my life.
And not only just waste them, because wasting years of life, a lot of people waste years. But it's the emotional breakdown, the emotional abuse that goes into it. And that's why sometimes when I have men who come to me and they say, well, you know, I was very good to my wife, and, you know, I give her what she wants, and, I've been a good husband. And I say, well, are you telling her the truth about why you don't want her or why sexually you're not desiring her? Well, no, I'm not telling her exactly that. Well, then I said, you know, that's a really basic thing of why you're not a good husband. Because when these wives start thinking every day, what am I doing wrong? And I think that we all live through that. You, Chris, me, Deborah, I mean, all of us have question why our husbands can't love us enough to want us, and, you know, have felt that sexual and emotional rejection. And it's just not a sexual rejection. So when a guy says to me, well, look at all these other couples after 20, 30 years, they're not having sex either. Well, that's not necessarily true, but even if it was, at least they had that intimacy and emotional buildup. So if they're not having sex all the time, they have that emotional connection that a gay man is just not having with us, nor can he, because his mind is always preoccupied with somebody or something else. But a lot of times they cannot see the damage that they're doing
and they feel, well, I've been a good husband, but I don't agree with that. No matter how nice they are, there's a difference between being nice and being a good husband. Would you agree with that,
Beth?
They don't make
good husbands. They don't make, they are not good husbands.
No, and they're not your friends.
No, they're not.
I wouldn't do that to my friend or a coworker, let alone somebody I wanted to marry. It's horrible behavior.
And I thought mine was my friend, but he was not my friend. I came to see the truth in all of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I say, if you want to live like with a brother, if you want to live with an uncle or a father, I mean, it's that kind of a relationship for some people where they do get along and they're like family, but they're not like a married couple. So there's no way you can compare these marriages to an authentic marriage with anybody because they're not. You know, gay men and straight women do not equal a marriage. They equal a mismarriage or a mess or something, but it's not called a marriage because, once again, if you can't have that kind of physical and emotional intimacy with a partner, there's no way to build on that relationship. And, Chris, not to put you on the spot, but, I mean, you're in a new relationship with somebody who you really love, and you can see that love in every one of your pictures. I mean, in every picture, you just look happy all the time.
Well,
and would you
adorable.
Say that's what love is supposed to be? Isn't that the way love is supposed to be?
You know, I don't know if it's supposed to be like that, but it sure is. Like, you know, it's just nice not having to second guess anything. It's amazing loving someone and having them love you back. It's completely unlike my marriage in every way.
And it's not like you have to keep guessing what's on his mind or what he really means when he's saying one thing. You know, there was just so much mysterious guessing in there of not knowing what the real message coming across is, that when you find someone who can treat you, you know, the way that a man needs to treat you, it's like a totally different kind of experience that most women have not had a chance to experience when they've only had a gay husband. I know some of our women have been married for 20, 30, 40 years to one person, that gay man, who they've never had a real marriage. They've only had a relationship with a gay man who claims to be a husband, which to me is a lot different than a real marriage. Would you both agree on that?
Absolutely.
I agree.
Yeah. And that's why, you know, I think that men who consciously know what they're doing and they're not honest with their wives, you know, they have a choice. You know, maybe they didn't feel they had a choice in getting married, but now that they're out there gallivanting around, having boyfriends, having relationships, leaving their wives at home, pretending they're at the gym, or saying that, you know, they're going out with friends and the wife can't understand why he wants to be with the friends and not her, or, you know, confusing her with all these messages, I think is really cruel. And there comes a point where you have to face up and say, you know what? A real man would do the right thing. A man who really loves his wife would tell her the truth. Do you agree with that, both of you?
I agree.
Yes, and a man who's really interested in a woman is going to want to spend time with that woman. You will become a priority to that man in a way that you're never going to be to your gay husband.
Yeah, you're never a priority to your gay husband. That's true.
Because your gay husband thinks that you're the enemy and that you're the one who trapped him. You know, so many of these men feel what they call trapped in a trap that they set for themselves. You know, and then they look back at you and you're a reflection of that unhappiness that they created. And they resent you. And they treat you like the enemy. They're not treating you like a friend.
And while they're there resenting you, they still never intend on telling you the truth.
No.
Right. And that, to me, is the saddest part of all. I think that women can really deal with the truth. They're not able to deal with the lies, and they're not able to deal with the deceit. And, you know, even as much as the truth hurts, it hurts a lot less than not having the truth. I think that one of the fears that we've seen a lot of women, and I think that we could all say this, how important it is that if you know or suspect, even suspect, that your husband's having sexual relationships with men, how important it is to go get tested for sexually transmitted diseases. And I know that it's very traumatizing, but I know that, you know, both of you could address that, right?
Yes, I got checked twice after my divorce just to be on the safe side, even though we hadn't been intimate in 10 to 12 years. Still got checked. And I'm good.
My husband gave me an STD while we were married, and actually while I was pregnant with one of our children. And fortunately, it was one that was treatable. But after I moved out of the marital bedroom, I got checked. I will also recommend, as my OBGYN did at the time, when you're asking for STD testing, tell your doctor why. Tell your doctor that your husband has been having sex with men, because they will test you for a lot more diseases if they know that that's why.
I think that's a really great point, Chris, that a lot of women need to know. That is just not a standard screening you're going for. And also, a lot of women have told me that when they went for a regular test for STDs, they did not test for herpes, that you have to ask for that separately. You know, that otherwise they don't normally test you for herpes. So I think it's really important that women should know that, because some of our women have herpes, and they didn't know it because even though they did an STD test, they were not tested for that. So as Chris mentioned, there's different tests that they do when you know that you have a gay husband in addition to the standard testing. And if you do have an STD, you know, it's something that you need to find out right away, because there's all kinds of treatments, and for some of them, they're very curable. Others will not be cured, but they can be contained and maintained. And those women who get STDs from their husbands, you know, that's the one thing that I just have no tolerance for. I think legal action or civil action needs to be taken, and that man owes that woman, you know, his life, because he's taken hers. In one way or another, her life is never going to be the same on top of everything else. You know, and what could be worse? I mean, to have to explain to somebody or someone you love that you do have an STD, I mean, it's a very difficult burden to carry with you. And I know that a number of our women do have it. About 20% of our women have STDs that we know of. So that's why it's so important to get checked. So,
yeah.
Chris,
and your doctor has seen it. Any disease that your husband might have given you, he has seen with someone else. I spoke very frankly with my physician when I was getting my divorce, and I told him everything, and he didn't flinch, because he's a professional, and he's a doctor, and he knows there's no shame in being victimized by your husband. So, but I will tell you, after I got my test results back, as a divorced woman, and everything was clear, and I went back another year and got tested again, and then I went back a third year and got tested again just in case something was lingering. There's great peace of mind in knowing that you don't have anything.
Oh yeah, there really is.
Before you get the test done, you never really know.
Mm-hmm. And Deb, would you agree with that?
I agree. When I was waiting for my results, if I would have gotten negative results, I would have felt like my life was over.
Very, very sad.
And I would have been angry. I would have been very angry at him.
I do want to mention to people that Deborah has a book out, Signs of a Gay Husband, Identifying Closeted Gay Husband Behaviors. This book is available at Amazon. And it's a wonderful story from Deborah, her stories, other women who are part of our support network, in seeing how women have gone through this experience and are there to give support to others. And Deborah also has a blog. So, Deborah, how would people get to read your blog?
It's at signsofagayhusband. by DeborahSutton.com. They can just enter that, and it will take them to the site.
Okay, it's good.
HTTP. Yes. They can just Google signs of a gay husband and find it.
Or Deborah Sutton and find it, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. And Chris, one day hopefully you're going to be a writer, right?
Yeah, I haven't been writing about this so much lately, but, you know, you never know. I might get back into it.
Chris is a wonderful writer.
I know, beautiful writer. So we're going to be waiting for your book to come out, Chris. But in the meantime, I want to thank both of you for bringing in our new year. And this is a new year of, like I say, of hope. Every new year offers people a chance to start over. Whatever support you need, we're here to give you that support. We have pain pals available. We have support sessions available. You have our radio show. We have my monthly newsletter. If you're not getting it, let me know at BonK at AOL. We have our upcoming healing weekend coming up. So there's lots of different venues of support to help women who are going through this. You just have to reach out, and you'll find people like Chris and Deborah who are past, you know, this experience, but willing to keep giving of themselves to help you get past this experience. So that's why I want to thank both of you so much, and I hope that you'll be coming back at least every other month, because I love listening to both of your opinions, and I know that other women do too. And I know that next week we have a really special guest on, Dr. Margalis Delstead, who has a wonderful book about stop caretaking the narcissist and codependent, you know, so that's really an important topic. And we'll be having Suzette back with us, and Dr. Hooper will be coming on soon. So we have a lot of really great programming coming on this year. I want to thank all of you who support this show. You know, we do this because we want to give support and hope to the women out there and to the men who really need to do the right thing. There's lots of support for you out there also. You know, we have some wonderful men who are part of our network who are willing to share with you and to give you that support and, you know, to move ahead, to do the right thing by your wife and by your children. So, Deborah, any last thoughts before we end tonight?
No, I think you covered it all, Bonnie.
Oh, okay. Well, I feel good about that. How about you, Chris?
Just life is short, so stop waiting for them to get better and take care of your own life.
Yeah, and once again, women, be strong. It's a new year. Things will get better. I think Chris and Deborah and I will all attest to the fact that time does help. You know, your first year you feel like dying, but after that, you know, life does get better. You know, as the years go on, you get stronger, you get support, and it really can change. It can get, you know, your life can take your life back. That's what I tell women, take your life back. So, ladies,
yeah.
I want to thank you so much for joining me tonight. And hopefully you'll come back again in a couple months. We'll do it again. It was really fun being with two of the women who I love. And you never know, Chris. Maybe you'll think about coming to Philly in the spring.
Yeah.
For the healing weekend. Love to have you.
That's
maybe
really
you could do a little.
Fun.
Think about doing a little workshop for us on moving on. That would be wonderful.
That would
so,
be great.
Ladies, I'll be talking to you again soon, and good night to everybody, and love you both, and love all of you ladies out there. Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.